Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is your biggest fear? Is it social, economic, medical, or could it be your spiritual life? For most people, fear is a moving target. When I was a teenager, it was the fear of graduating from high school. Yet somehow I made it. After high school, it was a fear of figuring out a vocation, finding a wife, and paying the bills. Then it was family, college, and buying a first home. My biggest fear about starting a family came with the birth of our first son 35 years ago. That day, I was afraid. My fears were for his health and the health of his mother. A couple of years later, our second son was born and the quiver was full. So I turned my fears to providing for them. A vocation was chosen that would assure a steady income, a secure retirement, and years of low stress and fearless living. I became a police officer. Now, one might assume that after completing that vocation, a person would have had ample opportunity to conquer all of the fears and tears that this life has to offer. Yet, such an assumption would be wrong. You see, after seeing most of the horrors and the pain that this sin-filled world is capable of, I really never experienced real fear until becoming a pastor, the overseer of two small congregations in southeast Arizona. It became very clear very quickly that this new vocation was about more than life and death in the present tense. No, it was about the salvation of people's souls for all of eternity. Surely St. Paul had similar fears when it came to the souls of the newly converted that the Lord had placed under his care. This fact is evident in the excerpt we heard today from his letter to the church in Philippi. Those folks who themselves were struggling with the fear of trying to live within what has been described as the paradox of human responsibility in view of God's work in us, and the paradox of joy during the suffering and challenges and fears of daily life. St. Paul said he was planning to send them Timothy to care for them, and he expressed his joy because of his partnering with them in the gospel. Paul tells them that his recent imprisonment had worked to make him even bolder in his preaching. Preaching a message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, and that the imprisonment had resulting in him being able to preach the truth without fear. Paul writes, "Because of the prayers of the people and the power of Christ, I know that I will be okay." He knew that he would never be ashamed, but he would armor himself with the full courage of Christ. "Now, as always," he said, "Christ would be honored in his body, whether it be by his life or by his death." Although we do live in a world where the Christian is persecuted because of his faith, we live in a world where the apostolic teachings have been chicken souped down to a slogan and a bumper sticker, a world where the law and its consequences are often glossed over because it is unfashionable even as it is only after the law has stripped away all pretense of personal merit, can the poor, miserable sinner come to know the grace of God, which has been shown to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We live in a world where you will most likely never be forced into a situation where your confession of faith will determine whether you live or die. However, you will all reach a point where all you have is that confession of faith. Earlier, I said that after becoming a pastor, my greatest fear was that the souls placed under my care were given proper care pursuant to God's will. As it turns out, that fear left rather quickly when I turned to all that God has given us in the sending of His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the account of His life, His death, and His resurrection, as recorded for us within the Holy Scriptures. So, with this fear off the table, I found myself facing what might be life's biggest fear of all. How will I handle it when the tables are turned and it is time for me to be the one lying in that hospice bed, awaiting God's holy angels to be dispatched to my side when I breathe my last breath? Have you ever had that thought? Have you ever wondered how you will confront those fears? Well, like many of the challenges we face, if we just look past ourselves, if we just turn to God and listen to what He is telling us, if we just trust in Him and look at how He works, trust me, that fear will also be gone. First, it was Cecil, a 92-year-old Pearl Harbor survivor who was lying in his hospice bed, unable to calm down the night that Virginia, his wife, called. We sat with him and we prayed. We couldn't seem to be able to calm him down as he mumbled and wrestled with every breath. So we took out an old hymnal and we began to sing some of the good old hymns that he had grown up with. Much to my surprise, Cecil became calm. He began to hum the hymns right with us. And in the quiet of that night, the angels arrived and took him into the loving arms of his Lord. Then it was Carl, an 80-year-old World War II veteran, a man of stalwart faith who had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he had opted for home hospice care. The night I got the phone call, he was in the bedroom covered with sweat and staring at the ceiling. Carl, his wife Terry, and his daughter Debbie, we gathered at his side and we prayed, and then we sang. Terry told me that Carl's favorite hymn was the Easter hymn we sing, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." As the three of us gathered around an old dusty TLH, Carl laid there in bed, staring up at us as he sang all eight verses from memory. Then there was Harry, a retired Vietnam-era colonel who was diagnosed with a terminal brain cancer. It was aggressive and inoperative. So he and his wife Carol, a nurse that he had met in a MASH tent over in Vietnam, took him home where she cared for him for the next couple of months. As tough as Harry was, he never lost his faith. One afternoon, as I sat in a chair beside his bed, the colonel woke up and he looked around, didn't see me sitting there. And his first words, and Dr. Geeshan told me to clean this up, he said, "Shoot!" I'm still here. Then he looked over at me and he said, "Sorry, Pastor, but I was really hoping I would wake up in heaven today." Many more stories would follow, and the lessons from those faithful, baptized children of Christ is this. When it is time for you to face your last moments on this earth, fear not, for the Lord is with you, and your faith will carry you through. "Let not your hearts be troubled," Jesus said. "In my Father's house are many rooms." And because of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, he indeed has prepared a place for you in his Father's house or his Father's mansion. And as it is written, he will come again and he will take you to himself, that where he is, you may be also. "For I am the way and the truth," he says. "I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." I have been told that today is the commemoration of the murder or martyrdom of St. Polycarp of Smyrna. Not sure why we didn't put the red pyramids out. A man who believed every word that Jesus Christ ever spoke. A man who trusted his faith even as he was being executed because of it. So let me close with the prayer that Polycarp prayed as he was being killed. "Lord Almighty God, Father of your beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have come to the knowledge of yourself, God of angels, of power, of all creation, of all the race of saints who live in your sight, I bless you for judging me worthy of this day, this hour, so that in the company of the martyrs, I may share the cup of Christ, your anointed one, and so rise again to eternal life in soul and body, immortal through the power of the Holy Spirit. May I be received among the martyrs in your presence today as a rich and pleasing sacrifice. God of truth, stranger to falsehood, you have prepared this and revealed it to me, and now you have fulfilled your promise. I praise you for all things. I bless you. I glorify you through the eternal priest of heaven, Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. Through him be glory to you, together with him and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.